reading to you from 2 Peter, and with the second chapter, and with the 21st verse. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments delivered to them. It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. God called me to preach, and I'll tell you right now, things have never been the same. I've enjoyed these last 55 years because it's the first time I've ever been happy. It's the first time I've ever had peace in my heart where I can lay down at night and not be afraid of waking up dead in the morning. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for a half hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter and with the 55th verse. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Well, this is a very tough subject to speak on tonight. Death doesn't get the last word. Now, friends, death is a subject we'd like to avoid. No one likes to think about death. And why dwell on something so dreadful? Well, I'll tell you why. Death is an enemy. And I read in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 26th verse, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. When after my mom died and my sister died, I will tell you, I wouldn't let anyone speak about death around me. Oh, my friends, I was so afraid of death. Now, you may not believe this, but I was about 5 or 6 years old, and every Saturday my dad had to take my mom from the Dalles down to Portland to a heart specialist. And on the way back, we used to go to some church, put this great big sign up on the side of the road. And I'm telling you, every time I'd go back, the wages of sin is death. Every time I'd go by that, it 5 or 6, wherever it was, I would shut my eyes. I couldn't stand the looks of that. And you know what? I pastored a church about 2 miles from where that sign was. Death is an enemy. And death is unnatural. We are created to live. But death came because of sin. And I read in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, did you know that you get paid for sin? You know what it is? Death. But you know, beloved, God stands with outstretched arms to you. Come unto me, all you labor heavy laden. God knows that you're not happy tonight. He knows that you've messed up your life, just like I tell the men and women in prison. Well, is Jesus concerned? Well, let's go to the grave and find in John 11:35, Jesus wept. Now, I'm telling you, if Jesus weeps, where does that put you and I? Lazarus had been in a grave 3 days, and then his sister said, he stinketh. Jesus spoke and says, come forth from the grave. That's the power of our resurrected Savior. Now, weeping demonstrates the pain of death to loved ones. Oh, friends, graves remind us that death stalks all of us. And I read in Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Well, so death doesn't get the last word. Salvation says death doesn't get the last word. Did you get that? Salvation says death doesn't get the last word. Jesus came to restore that what was lost because of sin. Now, he tells us in Luke, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now in Luke 19:10, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. Well, he came to bring life to dying sinners. And friends, listen, this is one of my favorite scriptures, John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Oh, listen, Jesus conquered two kinds of death. First of all, he conquered a spiritual death. And it tells us in Ephesians 2:5-9, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Then he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sin? I think I told you people this a long time ago, but I'll repeat it. Years and years ago, I was living in out of South Seattle, and there was a bunch of boys came home from Korea, and they landed at Boeing Field, and they went to their, I don't know where they went, but anyway, they got ready just before Christmas to fly out of Boeing Field to go back home for Christmas holiday. This big airplane took off, and it didn't clear the mountain. And it hit, and the airplane blew up. And all those servicemen perished. There was an old charred Bible found. And all that it said, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And that was on the front page of the Seattle newspaper. God left a message. You know, friends, God is always trying to get in touch with us. But, you know, we're all busy and we don't have time and all this. But I tell you, one time you're going to have time when the death angel comes over and gets you. Oh, yeah, you're going to have time then. Faith in Christ brings everlasting life. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal everlasting life. Everlasting life is a present possession of believers. Oh, yeah. Listen. He tells us that we can know that we've passed in death and life. Do you know that? He sure did. He said this. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Now, heaven says death doesn't get the last word. Salvation changes the destination of the soul, ending death's power. The saved go to heaven when they die. Oh, yes. You know what it said in Philippians 1:21? It says, for me to live in Christ, to die is gain. Oh, he said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. Now, Christians are with the Lord at death. Heaven is better than earth. And how do I know? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are mentioned very many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Just think. Oh, he said, a mansion. Now, remember, you've heard me say this many, 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 many times, that I don't understand that. I don't know what that mansion's going to look like. Oh, I sure don't. But I'll tell you, beloved, if the Lord made it, it's going to be the very best. We won't have any house payments. You know, today people are losing their houses all over America. They're losing their jobs. Many of them are going bankrupt. They're frustrated. We have a government that doesn't seem to care. And we have lying people on the hill. They don't tell us the truth. But you know what, beloved? God's word, you can bank on it. It's truth. He will tell you exactly how to live, how to die. Oh, God has instructions. Anything that you're faced is in this book, and they'll give you the answer, but you got to get in there and find it. You know, I've said this, and I'll say it 1,000 times to these men and women in prison. After you've accepted Jesus Christ, and if you don't get into the Word, you're going to die on the vine. This is your lifeline. This is your spiritual food. Hey, you got to have something for, you know, a lot of people don't eat breakfast because they want to lose weight. That's the dumbest thing that you ever did in your life. You need to eat a breakfast. That's one of the most important meals of the day. Well, people say, I'm going to go on a diet. Well, I'm dieting too. But I'm not really dieting. I'm just not eating those flat old carbs that makes me heavy. Oh, listen. Jesus has prepared a place for us in heaven. Loved ones who died in Christ await us in heaven. Some of you people along with me have loved ones who have died and went to heaven. And we're longing for that time when we get to see them, especially when we get to see Jesus. Oh, my stars in the morning. Can you imagine the joy? And you know what? We're going to gather around the throne. And some people think they're going to go up and sit on a cloud and play golf. I got a flash for you. You're going to be serving the Lord. You begin working, I was going to say day and night, but ain't no night in heaven. But oh, can you imagine the joy? We don't understand that. You know, this guy said one night to me, is my wife going to heaven? I said, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't want to go. Well, I felt sorry for him. Well, we will all see Jesus and spend eternity with him. Now, resurrection says death doesn't get the last word. Did you hear me? No, it does not get the last word. Well, there are great guarantees in Christ's resurrection, and we're guaranteed our Savior, Romans 1:4, who has declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are guaranteed. Boy, you know, you go out here and you buy, these poor people buying these all these old Toyota cars, and man, they're finding their dangerous piece of equipment. those people just slapped those things together and they didn't care about you, didn't care about me. I don't have a sympathy for Toyota Company. I don't. I bought 5 Toyota pickups, and I'm telling you, the paint come off, and they're just not a good piece of car. That's why, beloved, I wished we would all buy American products. You know what? Have you ever looked at your silverware? It's all made in China, Japan. Have you ever looked at the label in your clothes? Nothing is made in America anymore. Why? Because our politicians taxed us so much, people went to other countries so they could do it. And using slave labor, including your good friend on TV in Chicago. She does that too. But listen, friends, according to the Bible, we are, where are we at here, 20. Let's go back to 20. Let's see, it says, we are guaranteed our similar resurrection. Verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now, beloved, listen to me. Had Jesus not been raised from the dead, I've said before, we don't have a thing to talk about. Nothing. But he did. See, someone said, well, I don't believe. Well, whether you believe it or not, he did. And I got news for you. If you're not born again, if you've not repented of your sins, you're not going to go to heaven. You say, well, Cecil, does God send people to hell? Absolutely not. You are the ones, with your mouth you have confessed Jesus, believe of Christ, and raised that thou shalt be saved. You're the one that says where you're going to spend eternity, not God. Now, the Bible said it's not God's will that any man should perish. He came and gave his life on Calvary that you and I might be able to live forever. Now, you say, well, if salvation is forever, time without end, where's salvation in hell? Time without end, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Now, the Bible said the rich man used to shake his tablecloth, and Lazarus would eat the crumbs. That's all he had, was just the crumbs. The dogs would come and lick his wounds. Then the Bible said they both died. Now, Lazarus went straight to heaven, but the rich man went straight to hell. Now, the next scene, we see him weeping. Oh, he said, send Lazarus down here that he might touch his finger in cool water, because I have been tormented in this flames. So there is a flame. There is a terrible place. But you know what? Then we find out this man crying out. He said, oh, send somebody back. I have 5 brothers. Send someone back and tell them not to come to this horrible place. The only place in the Bible I ever found a soul winner in hell. Well, the Lord said, you can't do that because you can't pass from... See, those people from heaven can't pass to hell. Those people in hell can't pass to heaven. Oh, beloved, don't you realize you're in danger? If you don't know Jesus tonight, you are in terrible danger. He said, today is the day of salvation. Well, the Bible also tells us that we'll be like Jesus. Christ will resurrect our bodies. I don't understand all that. Don't ask me to explain it to you. But I know it's going to happen. Again, you've heard me say this many times. There are things in the scriptures that I don't understand. But you know what? I do accept them by faith. Now, when the Lord wants me to know about it, he'll reveal it to me. If you know what, friend, if you're studying the scriptures and you absolutely don't understand it, here's what you do. You pray about it. You ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to you in God's unerring word what this particular scripture means. And he will do just that. I told you about when I was a baby Christian, one of the men that I really looked up to my church told me that our preacher was lying to me. Now, Tom Baird was the first man that ever was concerned enough about me to tell me how to get saved. And it made me mad. I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, I'll tell you what it means." He said, "He's telling you that you can have eternal life." Well, I said, "That's what the Bible says." "No, but you could lose it. You sin, you could lose it." Well, I knew I wasn't perfect, and it scared me to death. I knew I wasn't perfect, and I knew I wasn't sinless. I thought, "Well, I can't make it. I'll go to hell," sure enough. So I was really troubled. I didn't call my pastor about it, but I went to church this one Sunday morning, which to show you that God will even answer your questions through preachers or through the Word of God anyway. Tom Baird said, "You know, I went to Southwestern Seminary," and he said, "I had one of the greatest Bible teachers in the world." But he said, "You know, son, people, if you want to know something, you go to God's Holy Spirit and you ask Him to reveal these truths to you." I couldn't wait to get home. I wanted to find out. So I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, tell me in your word that this brother is lying to me." And I'm telling you, almost every page I read in the Word of God, it revealed eternal security. I got peace in my heart. Friends, anytime you doubt the Word of God or you doubt God, you're putting yourself in pretty bad shape. That's what Eve did. She doubted God. She believed the devil said, "Why, if you eat this fruit, you'll be as wise as God," which was a lie. God told her not to eat the fruit, but she did. Don't doubt the Bible. If you have questions, go to your pastor. And if you don't like that answer, go to the Word of God and go to prayer. He will reveal God's truth to you. Well, remember Paul's two taunting questions of death. Verse 55. Wait a minute, I turned the page, didn't I? Okay. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Well, listen, do you know what he also said? "Sufferings now cannot compare with a glory later." And I read in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." That means a little bit later on. Christ's conquest of death assures us a victory. You don't have to guess about it. He come forth from the grave. He arose after 3 days like they said he would. Prophesied in the Old Testament, prophesied in the New Testament. Now, the conqueror deserves our service and devotion. Verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." You know, I've had people say, "Why do you go to prisons?" "Because I was sent there to lead men and women to Christ." That's what I tell these two friends of mine, the Dalles, Millie and Marie. They go to rest homes. Now, these are old people, forgotten people. They take little goodies out to them, little candy, little cookies and stuff. They pray with them. They invite them to put their trust in Christ. Now, it's not a rewarding job from the surface. No, it's not a back-patting job. I'm going to pat you on the back because they're doing it. But they're called to do it. Every Christian in this world is called of God to be a witness and be a soul winner. Every Christian on this earth is going to visit death unless the rapture comes while we're still alive. Friends, let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to die tonight? You say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know." Well, you know, you can know. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death into life. Do you have a little tugging at your heart? Would you like to open that heart to Jesus and trust him? If so, bow your head to me right now, and I'm going to lead you in the most powerful prayer ever prayed. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, oh God, I ask you to forgive my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I know I have. And Lord, right now tonight, I'm opening my heart, and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer? Get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. No, I'm not trying to proselyte you. I don't care if you ever go to the church I go to. I don't care. Well, anyway, friends, you say, I can't afford to call. Well, you call me Collect. You can afford to call Collect. I believe you can. And I am concerned. Oh, friend, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I am waiting for your call. Host been evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, get ready for death. It's going to come to all of us someday. Be ready. When you stand before Jesus, he'll say, enter thy good and faithful servant. Oh, my stars. Well, beloved, listen, continue to pray for me and my wife. Pray for my ministry over in Pennsylvania, the radio broadcast. Pray that God will supply the need so I can get more 20 stations over there if I can. That's down all over the United States. Not that I'm the hottest preacher in the world, but I'll tell you, I've got a few things to say to those who don't know Jesus. He saved this old drunk. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. keep looking up. This wonderful Jesus is calling soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.